man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those woodland mole boys raised on shotguns. We say grace and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beech nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Welcome to the Situation Report. It's Thursday, March 6th. Couldn't get the girls together today for the roundtable. Only had a couple, and my rule is three. So we'll try it again next week, see if we can get them all on. Interesting week, though. It was a little Hank Jr., Country Boy Can't Survive. That song was written in the 70s. And I can't remember if it was before or after he fell off a cliff and damn near killed himself, but yeah, that dude, interesting career. So, interesting thing, though. You know, it's been an interesting week. Pam Bondi came out today and said that they're going to redact some of the Epstein files. So, yeah, we knew that. They're going to redact anything related to Israel. Oh, wait, let me put on my conspiracy glasses for this. That way I'm there. So they're going to redact anything that has to do with Israel and anybody else that's made a deal with them. But is anybody surprised? I'm not surprised at all. In fact, after the first release, when she's saying that, hey, yeah, this is all I got. Like, come on, you can do a lot better than that. That just the whole thing, right? The whole thing was just a big facade. And that's not even the only, BS going on right now. I've been watching the back and forth with the City of London, with, Canada, Zelensky, and the situation on the ground. There's a lot of different opinions about what's going on in Ukraine. So my view of the situation is the situation right now is chaotic. That's the situation. Chaotic. And it's interesting to me that it really seems like, and I'm going to say this again because I've said this a couple weeks ago, it really seems like they're positioning to get rid of Netanyahu and put in somebody more friendly for the narrative. And I'm getting more and more, I'm seeing more and more whiffs of that, more and more, let's just say more and more indicators that that's a thing. On top of that, I'm seeing a couple of different changes, which I thought were interesting. Kash Patel has been extremely silent through all of this. They fired the director, the New York field office director, over the Epstein stuff. But it goes back to what I was saying before, right? You have to curate this stuff before you let it out. So some of it's garbage, some of it's real, some of it's not real. But what's interesting now is I'm seeing more and more. So I saw two different interviews today on Twitter. One of them was from an actual victim that she was on the island for, 3 to 4 years. And she's been to all the properties, named people by name, talked about how Kevin Spacey and Bill Clinton have body counts around them and all these inexplicable deaths. But she went really down the rabbit hole, and that Epstein was doing genetic testing. They were doing cloning. There was cloning labs. She woke up at a lab. There was, stuff about she saw a UFO while she was on the island. So one of the techniques that's used to discredit people is you put outlandish claims out there, right? But when you watch this interview, and I'll see if I can find it and post it. When you watch some of these interviews, remember, these people are highly traumatized, and their version of reality is way different than our version of reality, because they lived their life in constant fear for a very, very long time. And she was 14 when they pulled her out of South Africa and moved her to the island first. And Epstein had his way with her. So she's highly traumatized. Some of it I take with a grain of salt, some of it I don't. But she talked about the cloning stuff and how Epstein was into genetics, and she talked to Rh positive, Rh negative blood types, and that most of the people that were affiliated with Epstein were Rh negative, very, very specific blood type from a very specific part of the world. I don't know how much of that's true, but it was very, very interesting to start seeing some of the victims come forward. And the other thing she says, a lot of the victims are dead. They've been killed, which I believe. Because, what's a good way to keep yourself out of prison? You kill off all the witnesses. And the Clintons are notorious for that. That's why it's where the term Clinton body count came from. But the interesting narratives that are coming out of that I wanted to zero in on today is that it was coordinated across all the different groups. So Epstein, Diddy, the Asian piece of it, the European pieces of it, the African pieces of it, they're all one big organization. And if you listen to episode 2284 of the Joe Rogan podcast with Ian Carroll, they touch on some of this, and they don't think it's a highly coordinated thing. Some groups are involved, some groups aren't involved, some groups are affiliated with the government, some groups aren't affiliated with the government. Here's my view of the world. So we went into Afghanistan for opium. We went into Afghanistan for resources. We didn't go in there after the Taliban. We could care less about the Taliban. In fact, the Taliban were operating for over 10 years before we decided to go in there and do anything. The Soviets left, the then Soviet Union, the Soviet Army left Afghanistan in 1990. And the crazies moved in after that. And the Taliban were well established long before 2003 when we went in there. So it was all about drugs. And the interesting part of it is there's they showed an interview an interview with Geraldo Rivera, where he was interviewing Marines that were guarding poppy fields. And this is back right at the peak of the opioid crisis here in the U.S. Huh? I wonder where they got the opium from. The point is that all of these activities are coordinated by the deep dark behind the scenes. And Diddy, Epstein, and the others that are in the child trafficking trade, that's a highly organized and well-oiled machine that's been going on for decades and decades and decades. And, you know, they have the same premise I do, that we're not going to get the whole truth. We may never know. They've been destroying evidence for over 10 years, so it's doubtful that we'll ever get the truth. And, you know, Ian Carroll made a very astute observation that the Epstein flight manifest has been out for over 10 years. I had a copy of it almost 10 years ago when, during his first trial, the flight manifests were released. Now, those are the flight manifests that we know about, but the manifests were released. And what's interesting is that when you start digging into the craziness of it, you start digging into the fact that this empire is, for lack of a better word, that Epstein controlled, spanned the entire continent of North America. And he had properties all over the U.S. as well as in the Caribbean. And this victim that was on today said that he traveled all the time. He didn't stay in one place for very long. He was constantly on the move. And it was almost like he was reporting, moving to and reporting to different people, which is very plausible, and that's how I see it too. And I think that the Diddy piece, the Epstein piece, it's all the same list of people involved in both. You had the Hollywood elites involved in both places. So it'd be highly unusual that the two didn't coordinate in some way, shape, or form, or at least interact. And that tells me that it's bigger coordination. We will never see that. We will never see the evidence that shows that this was one big organized blackmail operation, but that's exactly what it was. And when I look at the messaging that's coming out now, they've realized, and I said this before, Trump's put himself in created an existential crisis for himself, because he's made these commitments. He's going to release all this information. And not realizing all this information leads right back to Israel. And the best way for them to deal with that is to get rid of Netanyahu and make him the scapegoat, because he's been there 30 years, and point the finger at him and say, he's the guy that did all of this. And then they can, you know, he can go quietly into the night, et cetera, and then they can bring in a different face and move on. See, nothing to see here. And that's exactly how I see it's going to play out probably in the next several months. But the variable here, which I think is interesting, is that the situation in Ukraine is going to drive a lot of different actions and a lot of distractions. Don't lose sight of that, because I think this Epstein thing is not going to be the disclosure that you're looking for, but it will metastasize into something different, which will be disclosure by victims that point out people by name and specific acts by name. And that's really what you want anyway. Somebody that was affected by it to come forward and say, here's the pictures, here's the tapes, here's what they did, and here's the person that did it to me. Virginia Guthrie was the first one to name somebody, and Prince Andrew just happened to be that guy. And you can tell that she's got an axe to grind with the guy for a lot of different reasons, all of them justified. And with the current situation with the monarchy in England, and that's one of the things we're going to talk about tonight on the round table, and I'll save it till next week, is the UK is on the verge of a revolution or a civil war. And I think it's high time. I think they need to remove the monarchy and get rid of them in total. And I think if you get rid of the monarchy and the same thing happens with the Vatican, guess what? Then I think that you will see the world level out. And, you know, what's interesting is, so I get a lot of calls every day and I get a lot of, you know, forwards, a lot of emails. And it's interesting the stuff that I'm getting forwarded now, right? And the other thing that's interesting is the number of people that are waking up. I mean, my sister was a staunch liberal. Not, she was middle of the road. She wasn't a left wing zealot. And calls me last night and says, you know, I've been listening to Mike Benz, and it's amazing. I listen to this guy talk, and I'm sitting here thinking to myself, that's what Steve says. And she goes, I've listened to this guy now for like 6 hours, and he's completely changed my view of the world. I didn't realize how badly we were lied to. She goes, I knew we were being lied to about COVID, but I didn't realize how bad it was. And we're seeing more of it, which is the other shift that I'm seeing now, is people starting to do more research and reach out away from the mainstream. And what helped that is the reporting that's been done on both X, and now it's also on Facebook, it's on Instagram, it's on a few others, of all of those senators saying the exact same message the exact same day in unison. It's gone viral and it's made the rounds and it's waking people up. So we're seeing the pendulum swing the other way. The other thing that's swinging the other way is public support for Trump and Trump's regime is really starting to move in the center direction. Like, okay, we heard you. Now what are you going to do? We want to see what you're going to do, and you're going to do what you said you were going to do, and we want to see people held accountable. I cannot tell you how many times I've heard that just in the last few days. So it tells me, and it gives me a lot of hope that Americans are done with the narratives. They're done being lied to. They're done with the BS. Now, what's interesting is that prior to Ian Carroll going on Joe Rogan, Elon Musk was on Joe Rogan, and Rogan talked about UFOs and UAPs with Musk, and Musk didn't answer the question, which means what? He's read in. So what I also think is going on is there's definitively going to be some kind of disclosure around UAPs, UFOs, whatever you want to call them. UFOs is perfect. UAP is an obfuscation, but suffice it to say, I think we're going to see something come out this year about that. What that is, how big of a disclosure, who knows? But they went into a couple of different scenarios. Who knows what that's going to be? But you can't change the fact that there's been more sightings this year just in the first 2 months than any other time in human history. And then somebody sent me something I dug into the other day, which I'm still digging into, and I'll mention it briefly, and that is this conversation around Gilgamesh and Gilgamesh's tomb in Iraq. Evidently, we looted that, and we took a bunch of things out of there in 2003 and 2004 while we were looking for weapons of mass destruction, and that's going to come out of the woodwork sometime this year. It's what I see, though, is the system's flooded with a lot of garbage information right now. So it's very hard to discern what's true, what's not true, what's theater. I can tell you everything Christine Ohm's doing, theater. Everything Pam Bondi's doing, theater. And it's almost as if we're in this pause. Like the yesterday, the internet blew up over Amy Comey Barrett, her vote against shutting down USAID, the $2 billion USAID. Look, here's the bottom line. A federal district judge does not have the authority or the jurisdiction to counter the President of the United States and the executive office in the midst of their duties. And their duties include cutting and trimming any federal agency that's in the executive purview. That's why we have a CEO called a president. And because of that, I can see this going a couple of different ways. But at the end of the day, she should be impeached and she should be thoroughly investigated as to what her story is. Because she has voted against anything conservative since she was put on the bench. And this ruling is not only unconstitutional, but I think Trump should ignore it and just move on. Like, whatever, you can't enforce it. We're not sending the money. We're not going to fund all these people. And really what this is the old school establishment trying to get one last payoff out of the American taxpayer before the economy is on the skids. And that's the other thing that's boiling in the background is gold's moving up in price and the economy starting to teeter. I don't know how much truth is that, but there's definitely been a retraction in the economy. And you would expect that because Trump's imposing tariffs, things aren't coming across the border, things are more expensive. And look, I think if it stimulates growth here in the country where we start producing again, and we get back to, you know, funding and helping farming and fixing our food supply, hey, guess what? That's a good thing. And if we have to pay a little more in the short term, then great. But the interesting number of, I shouldn't say interesting, but the number of narratives that have come out just in the last week have been, it's almost too much to keep up with. Because you have a narrative that the last bit of defensive positions are eroding away in Ukraine and the Russians are going to start moving. I've heard that for 2 years now. The other one is that the Europeans are going to put forces on the ground just to start some kind of a direct conflict with Russia. Good luck with that. And I've heard that, you know, Zelensky's going to be removed. Look, I hear this stuff all the time. Until it happens, I'll believe it when I see it. Until then, it's just noise. And it's not going to be anything else but noise. So here's what I'm focused on right now. I'm focused on the economy, trying to find out what the situation really is on the ground in Ukraine. And I'm watching to see what the Europeans are going to do next. Because they need a war to write down their debt. This is all about money. This is not about conflict. It's not about number of Russians they kill. It's about money. They need to reset their currency. They need to write down debt. And I think Luongo's right on this one. I think that they're trying desperately to draw the U.S. back into a conflict. And let's face it, Trump's not going to bite. And he shouldn't bite. We should let them flounder on their own. And I know that, you know, a lot of innocent people are going to die because of that. But guess what? The right thing is the hard thing. And the hard thing right now is not stepping in. We need to let that end. And let it end in whichever way it ends. Through a negotiated settlement or through Ukraine losing their territory. And I know that's probably not popular. But guess what? That's a hard, cold truth. We shouldn't put one more U.S. soldier in the area. Period. Full stop. We should pull all of our forces out of Europe. We should pull all of our bases out of Europe. We should definitively hold the Panama Canal. And we should, if we garrison anything, it should be the Panama Canal. And I don't know why we haven't yet. But, and then the other thing is, BlackRock taking over the ports is not necessarily a bad thing. In fact, I'm pretty sure BlackRock was told this is what you're going to do. With no wiggle room, meaning you're going to go down there and you're going to negotiate a deal with the Chinese and you're going to throw them out. Because the Chinese control, and I don't know if you guys realize this, but the Chinese control a significant number of ports around the world. Chinese companies, Chinese Chinese proxies, you name it. They own a significant number of shipping ports around the planet. And you're going to see more and more noise about tariffs, about taxation, et cetera, over the next several months. What I'm waiting to see is what Trump does with the IRS. I'm going to give him, in fact, I'm going to give him until June and see what he's really up to with the IRS. He's only cut 45,000, and that's, I think they cut the newest hires is what they cut. I want to see real cuts. I want to see IRS judges. I want to see IRS enforcement. I want to see IRS cronies. I want to see them all thrown out. And that's not because I have an axe to grind. It's because the IRS is supposed to be voluntary, and it is unconstitutional in its existence. So it needs to go away. So we'll see. I mean, and by the way, if you're hearing some weird noises, it's because we have like 30, 40 mile an hour winds today. They spread the shit out of us like bugs 2 days ago, and now we have high winds. It's amazing how they can forecast the winds. The other thing too is there's a Jack Cruz video out on YouTube. I'll see if I can find all this stuff again and post it. But the big picture today is this. It seems like we're in a pause, but we're not. What we're really in is we're in this moment before the main event happens. And whatever the main event is, whether that's an expansion of the war in Europe, whether that's some kind of, you know, conflict with the cartels here, something is on the horizon. And all this noise is to cover that, as well as the economic stuff. So that's what I've got my head on a swivel right now. And I know I keep saying that, but it's interesting. The tone's changed for a lot of the messaging I've been watching. In fact, even TV is changing. It's weird. Well, every so often I go out and peruse Netflix and a lot of the online streaming services just to see what the titles look like, just to see what the videos look like. And somebody corrected me about Lucifer, the show. And that was my interpretation of it. You know, when I watched it, I only watched 3 or 4 episodes, but my interpretation of it was that, you know, Lucifer was the good guy. God was a bumbling idiot. And they were working together. And, you know, maybe that's not the intent of the plot, but hey, guess what? That's how I saw it. And I'm not seeing as many dark titles as I am, and no, not as many post-apocalyptic titles. I'm seeing more history-related titles, which is something that's different. But again, they're trying desperately to rewrite history. So I haven't dug into any of the titles. But I think it's interesting that if you haven't seen, and like I watched some of the franchises, like Star Wars franchise, the Star Trek franchise, and some of the others. Star Trek has gone so woke, it's not even funny. And all the narratives are there. It's laced all the way through. It's like it's written by people who think that we're all gay and that we haven't embraced our inner gayness. That's literally how the whole series is written. Discovery's that way. New Worlds is that way. It's retarded. And I know I could speak for most Americans on this. Most of America is sick of the whole lesbian, gay, summer of love in every show that they watch. And that there's always got to be some kind of gay romance. It's always got to be some DEI thing. Like, case in point, African Americans were on the front line in World War II, but it took a lot to get them there. It took a lot for the Tuskegee Airmen to actually get in the fight. And they were held in the back, in the rear areas, with substandard equipment until almost the end of the war. And to you know, publish things where you have women that were in combat units, you have women. The Russians were the only ones that had women in combat units in World War II. And there was a lot of partisans and, guerrilla warfare that was, you know, conducted by women and men during the war, but there was no women in uniform that were on the front line for the American Army. Anything you see that's depicting that is nonsense. And you know, all of those narratives are floating around right now. So I'm trying to figure out what that is. Sorry about that. But you looked over at the chat and anyway. Keep your eye on the ball. Don't let them don't listen to all the noise. And I wouldn't pay any amount of attention to the Epstein stuff. Everything we know is already out there. The things that we know are important, they're already out there. The question is anybody going to be held accountable? Anybody that went to the island, anybody that was sponsoring Epstein, is anybody going to be held accountable? My answer is no. We're not going to see any accountability. Now, will we see accountability for January 6th? Probably. Will we see accountability for some of the other activities of malfeasance? Definitely. But when? Probably in another 4 to 5 months, at least. They have to clean house first. They have to figure out who's good, who's bad, and then they have to start the investigations. And that's going to take time. So, anyway. I'm going to wrap it. I'm going to keep this short today and wrap it up. But the short answer for the next several weeks is you're going to see a lot of noise. They flooded the system with all kinds of noise. And what happens in Ukraine is definitively going to affect us here. How fast that happens, I don't know. But don't buy into the hype. Wait, see how things develop, and keep your head on a swivel. I'll be back on Monday. God bless everyone. One team, one fight.